Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Tokyo Munchies Podcast. This is episode number 26. And to kick it off, we're going to go straight into the munchies for you good people out there around the world with your ears tuned in to some sweet, sweet Japanese candy. We're going to talk about our snack pack. So the Tokyo Munchies snack pack is 7 of the best, rarest, most unique, coolest Japanese snacks that you could possibly find. And we don't shortcharge you guys on this. We give you packs of chips, or packs of chips and senbei, or packs of senbei and chips and something different. I don't know. We just dig around and have a bit of a find, see if we can find. So the snack pack, it's 7 packs of chips normally. So the packs of chips consist of like a bag of taran habanero, which is your spicy rings. We chuck in a packet of wasabi beef chips, if we can find them, because they're a bit rare recently, because they've updated their packaging and gone for a different taste and a different look on things. But yeah, so you get like a packet of taran habanero spicy rings, you get a pack of wasabi beef, you'll get a packet of the Japanese version of Cheetos, which is really, really cool, because they do like a soy sauce flavor, which is really, really unique, really, really different. And we just hunt around and try to find anything which is super special, super unique to Japan for the snack packs. Right now, I found this awesome package with my suppliers. It's got this picture, this cool picture of a ninja on the front cover, and he's holding his hand up in front of his face, on in front of his lips, like, shh, be quiet, I'm a ninja. And these chips are so cool. I think there's 2 or 3 different flavors. So there's a salt-based flavor and a soy sauce-based flavor. Here we are, slurring the words. It's too early in the morning for that. And there's a chili-based flavor as well. The coolest thing about these chips, other than the cool packaging with the ninja on the front cover, is the chips are actually shaped in a dragon, like it's shaped like a dragon, in some type of tornado or some type of typhoon spiral thing. So it's so freaking cool. It's a pack of chips with a ninja on the front cover, which is cool. And then the chips are shaped in the shape of a dragon, which is even cooler. And they're wrapped in this little spiral thing, which looks like a typhoon or, I don't know, a ninja cloud to hide in. And that's super cool. So the snack pack, it's, as I said, you get all those 7 different unique Japanese flavored chips, plus stuff which is just cool. And we always throw in extra gifts, we always mix it up, so if you order a snack pack, I tend to go towards giving you snack packers out there an amiibo as your special gift. But everybody is unique, everybody gets something different. Sometimes I'll chuck in a Gashapon or a Dragon Ball Z mini figurine or a Star Wars mini figurine. You never know what you're going to get as a special gift. As it's going into summertime right now and Japan is getting really hot, it's not as hot as other places around the world because I'm Australian, and in Australia we're looking at around about 50 degrees. That's when we say, mate, it's getting a bit hot out here, eh? But yeah, in Japan it's around 36, 37 now. Maybe because we're in Tokyo, in the middle of the city, it feels more hotter, more humid because there's not much breeze because of all the buildings. But yeah, back in Australia, I live in the country, I live in a rainforest, and I live near the beach. In the rainforest, it's super humid, but you can still cool down because you just jump in a creek. If you don't know what a creek is what we call a small river in Australia. I don't know what you guys call it in America. You might call it a trench, you might call it a drain, but we call it a creek. And yeah, so it's getting stinky, really hot, really sticky. And if you remember from the past podcast, question time, guys. How do you say humid or muggy in Japanese? Do you remember? I'll give you a few minutes to think about it, and I'll put that in for the Japanese word of the day. So I'm just going to give you a little bit of a clue. It starts with M, and the pronunciation is mushi, and I'm not going to give it away, so I'll come back after this short commercial break with the Japan word of the day. And then I'll go for a walk in my garden and then give you the Japanese news. So see you after this short commercial break from tokyomunchies.tiktao.com. I love the criticalthinkingpodcast.com.
Hello, dears. My husband used to always ask me, How is your taint so fresh and so sparkly and clean? Well, the secret is I use Big Rig Meek Hot Wax daily. A daily application of it upon my taint makes it fresh as a daisy, and it tastes lovely. All the boys down the road always compliment me on the freshness and the cleanliness of my taint. I'm a British grandmother. I'm 94 years old, and I'm not really sure what you Americans mean by taint, but I'm assuming it's the place between my a-hole and my prison wallet, as you so subtly put it. But yes, I'm a firm believer in the Big Rig Meek Hot Wax, and I will use it every day. Regardless of how clean my taint is, it's never clean enough without a good thorough scrubbing and a solid application of Big Rig Meek Hot Wax. Thank you, Big Rig Meek. I don't know who you are. I'm assuming you're a nice Mexican gentleman. And kisses from Granny in London. I love you. I'll see you next time when I reorder. Thank you, dears. And enjoy a cup of tea and a special plate of spotted dick. Have a great afternoon.
So we're back, guys. Welcome back after that intriguing commercial break there from our good friend and sponsors, Big Rig Meek Hot Wax, the taint specialists. Love that product. I've still got a case of it in my room. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it. The wife is not keen on it. I can't give it away to my neighbors. They can't read it, the English packaging. I don't know what to do with it. I'm just going to say thank you, Big Rig Meek Hot Wax, for your products. I'll use it myself. And I'll just keep sending over tubes of it to that lovely British lady over there, because she definitely enjoys it, and her husband is keen on it too. I actually have an emailed message from him as well, which he's a very proud and very happy user of Big Rig Meek's Hot Wax. Anyway, without further ado, on to the Japanese word of the day. I gave you guys a hint, a clue on that in the last part of this podcast, just before the commercial break, and I said to you it starts with M, and the pronunciation is Mushi. I don't want to give it away. I want you guys to try. So, Eve, I know this podcast is not going live, but I want you to try. I want you to actually send me a voice message. Send me a voice message on the Anchor platform, or send me a voice message on any platform this podcast is on. Or even send me a voice message on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or Tumblr or anywhere else you can. Even email me if you're that ganky. You want to get out there. So, what is the Japanese word for humid or muggy? What is it? And here's your answer. It's mushi atsui. Mushi atsui. Mushi atsui. So, you could say in a sentence, kyo wa mushi atsui de no. Sorry, that was a bit Osaka Ben coming out there. So I'll do that in Kanto Ben. Kyō wa mushi atsui de yo. Kyō wa mushi atsui de shō. Kyō wa mushi atsui de yo. Mushi atsui. It means humid, muggy, sticky, unpleasant. It's just not nice. And you probably would have noticed I changed the endings there with dayo and esho. If you've been listening to the past podcast, you would know that Japanese girls tend to say "daiyo," and Japanese men will say "desho." But because of the ever-changing landscape that we live our lives in, men are using female words as frequently as they're using masculine words. So the modern Japanese language is really tricky now. So, it depends on what context or what atmosphere or who you're hanging with is what you're going to say. I definitely don't say, like, oh, kyo wa mushi da yo to your boss, because that's not going to roll. He's not going to be happy. You want to be really formal with him. You're like, ah, sumimasen, kyo wa mushi atsui desu ne? Well, I don't know how to speak keigo. Keigo is a formal, polite Japanese form. I don't speak keigo. I don't have anybody to speak keigo with, so I don't speak keigo. But yeah, so the Japanese word of the day is mushi atsui. Atsui means hot. So you can say kyo wa atsu desu, which means today is hot. Kyo is today. Kyo wa, wa is a particle meaning day. We're talking about the day, so kyo wa atsu means hot. So kyo wa atsu desu means today is hot. And if you want to say today is muggy or humid, kyo wa mushi atsui desu. So kyo wa mushi atsui desu. So mushi is an interesting word. I like it because I find it really easy to relate to, because when I feel humid, when I feel muggy, if I feel the weather's muggy, if I feel the weather's humid, I feel mushy. In the armpits, around the groin area, on the feet, I feel mushy. And I can find that word easy to learn because that's how I feel. I feel mushy. The banana is going to be mushy in the hot, stinky, humid weather. A piece of bread will probably be mushy. Your bowl of noodles will be mushy. Lots of things will be mushy when it's hot and humid. So Japan word of the day is kyo wa mushi atsui. And that was a flub. So Japan word of the day is mushi atsui. Used in a sentence, kyo wa mushi atsui. If you want to use in the past tense, talking about yesterday, you can say, kino ga mushi atsui desu. Kino means yesterday. Kino ga. Ga is another different particle, which relates to the topic we're talking about yesterday. So kino ga mushi atsui desu. Kyo wa mushi atsui da yo. 今日は蒸し暑い。本当に蒸し暑い。今日は気持ち悪い。蒸し暑いです。So that is the Japanese word of the day. After this, we're going to go to a short commercial break. Probably put in a frisky transition. I'm going to jump in my pool and bring you the special segment of walking in my garden with Kyle while I'm in the pool. I'll see you after these short words from our sponsors. G'day guys, this is Pete from Pete's Potato Plantations down here in Australia, the land down under. I'd just like to say a big shout out to Tokyo Munchies. We just started sponsoring these guys. They're a cracker group of lads. We saw last year about their potato crisis, the Japan potato crisis, and we took interest in that because we want to make sure that you guys up there in the northern hemisphere have a steady supply of spuds. Spuds is what we call potatoes down here in Oz. Yeah, so this is Pete's Potato Plantation, proudly sponsoring the Tokyo Munchies podcast. Have a good listen, guys, and head over to their shop. I think it's called tokyomunchies.ticktail.com. Head over there, grab yourself some Japanese candy, say g'day to Kyle and his wife Kiniko and the family, and tell them that Pete from Pete's Potato Plantations sent ya. Have a crack of a day, guys, and get some spuds up ya. Cheers. And g'day guys, and welcome back after that short commercial break. Hello Pete from Pete's Potato Plantations down there in Australia. Thank you for the sponsorship, mate. We greatly appreciate it, and thank you for your offer for spuds. Spuds being the Aussie word, or even the UK word we use for potatoes. But I have a bountiful supply of potatoes right now. I haven't harvested them yet, but I'm looking at them right now, because right now we're going to go into walking in my garden with Kyle while sitting in the pool. Boop, boop, boop. That was not a transition, it was a poor attempt at one. Anyway, so thank you, Pete. As I was saying, thank you for the offer for the spuds for the potatoes. I'm in the garden now, and this is walking in my garden with Kyle while sitting in the pool. We'll start off near the gate, as we always do. I'm over at the gate. There's no one outside the gate. No one is urinating on my gate. There's no cars idling. There's no one beeping their horns. There's no one being obnoxious near my gate right now, which is very nice. It's a nice change of pace. I do have an umbrella hanging on the handle of my gate because I like to sit here in my garden and record my podcast while I'm in the garden. Because why be outside? Why be inside when you can be outside? And that's the best thing about mobile technology. You can do this anywhere at any time. That's what my wife said. Or in French, come to bit. Okay, so walking my garden with Kyle, we're near the gate, no one's there near the gate, I mentioned the umbrella, we're going to swing by over here to the potato garden, and the potato garden is actually looking very, very dismal, it's looking very, very dead, very, very sad, The potato plants cranked it right up to about 4 to 5 feet high before they all bent over and kowtowed and prayed to God to stop this typhoon, which is smashing them endlessly. They're not giving up, though, not without a fight. Even though they're almost all dead, that is actually a really good sign, because I've been researching harvesting potatoes a lot, and you don't harvest potatoes until the plants are dead. Some people say that you harvest a potato when the plants are flowering, but I figure no. I figure wait till all the plants are dead. Give the potatoes more time to grow, get a little bit bigger. I'm living in the city and this ground is rock hard packed clay. I've been tilling this earth and fertilizing it with broken vegetables and eggshells and God knows what else, just to make it supple and grow a good batch of potatoes. And these potato plants have grown massive. They're all falling over now. They're all slowly dying. They've been attacked by the dreaded red spider mite. I had this issue last year with my crops. I don't know too much about the red spider mite. Does anybody know about the red spider mite? Can anybody please shed some light on the red spider mite? Leave me a message. Send me a voice message. Or email or anything, like a comment on Twitter or a comment on Instagram or a comment here on the podcast. Tell me about the red spider mite. I don't know much about it. I know it's got to be closely related to a spider because these little buggers... That's a bit Aussie come out there for you guys. These little buggers, they're little tiny little red spider things, and they put little red... They put little webs up in the potato plants. And there's millions of them, and they infest the plants, and they suck all the greenness and all the goodness out of the plants and slowly kill them. Last year, I just sort of left it unchecked because I thought, I don't know what's going on here, and I'll just let it go. And they just killed my potatoes really quickly, and I had a really small harvest of potatoes, and that was during the height of the Japan potato crisis. I mentioned that in the previous podcast. I'm probably going to touch on that in the next couple of podcasts because it's almost potato harvesting time, but the Japan potato crisis was real. It was dead serious. That, no joke. I actually took all my Dragon Ball Z figurines and put them in my potato garden to guard my potato plants to make sure no one would steal my potatoes. In Japan, they have this special rule. Only certain potatoes grown in certain areas to a certain size under certain regulations are allowed to be made into potato chips. If they do not comply to those regulations, they can't be used for potato chips. So there was lots of potatoes in the supermarkets and the shops who could buy them and boil them and fry them and mash them and do whatever you want to do at home with them, but they were not accepted by the major potato chip making companies because they didn't follow the regulation standards. So Calbee and Yamanoshi, they couldn't buy these potatoes to make their potato chips. And it was really surreal, it was crazy, it was very, very strange. You go into a shop and you're just buying your normal groceries and you might want a pack of chips or something just to snack on your way home or share with your family or friends. You go down the snack aisle and where normally there is just a bountiful, massive supply of potato chips, there's nothing. The shelves are bare. There's absolutely nothing. And that was like that everywhere. I went to convenience stores, located everywhere in Japan. There's millions of convenience stores. There's almost more convenience stores in Japan than there is Japanese people. It is totally crazy. If you don't know much about Japanese convenience stores, I'll run this down quickly for you. So, in Japan, you have 7-Eleven, which comes from America, but it's a massive and really super popular convenience store chain here in Japan. And they also own Denny's, and so Denny's and 7-Eleven are tied together. So everywhere you see a Denny's, there's in close proximity, there's a 7-Eleven. So you have 7-Eleven, then you have the Japanese-owned, Japanese home brand Family Mart, and they're everywhere too. Like, I'm in Tokyo. You can see my address when I send you a box. You can see my address, like, from Tokyo Munchies, Vita Komogome 339-B, Komogome Toshimaku. So, near my place, I have a Family Mart maybe 3 minutes skate away from my house going north. I've got another Family Mart which is about 2 minutes skateboarding away to the south. I've got another Family Mart, which is about 5 minutes skateboarding away, like southwest way. And then there's convenience stores everywhere in Japan. And in Japan, actually, we'll put this in for an extra word of the day for you guys. Convenience store. In American English, we call it a convenience store. In Australia, we call it a corner store. Get a little corner store. You want to pop down to the corner store and get yourself a breaker and a sausage roll. Get a snag. Have some fun. Have some fun with some computer games. Good time for all. So yeah, in the US, you guys call it the convenience store. In Australia, we call it the corner store. I think in the UK, I don't know what you guys call it in the UK. It might be a corner store as well. I think milk bar is an Aussie, American thing? I don't know. But anyway, so in Japan, a convenience store is called a konbini. Konbini. And konbini is a katakana way of saying convenience. So it's just very short for convenience. So, konbini. So there's konbinis everywhere. And as I was mentioning, back to the point, what we're talking about, walking in my garden with Kyle while sitting in the pool, is during the height of the potato crisis, even at all of these convenience stores, there was no potato chips. Absolutely none. If you had a massive craving for potato chips, you just could not get any. There was just no potato chips. I have a supermarket which is located just down the road from me, and in Japanese, a supermarket is called a supa. And even in there, no potato chips. Shelves bare. I've got a massive supermarket located about 5 minutes skateboard away from me over in Sugamo, and it's Seiyu, and they are actually affiliated with Walmart, so it's a Walmart-owned store in Japan, but in Japan they go under the name of Seiyu. Even in there, nothing. No potato chips. So crazy, man. I had friends, relatives calling me in tears, saying to me, can I send you some potatoes? But no, fear not, my good friends, because in my garden, I grow my own potatoes, and I have my Dragon Ball Z figurines guarding them. Goku was on there 24/7, Vegeta is in there, he's caring more about his hairstyle and these little posters he's carrying with him of himself, like Steve-O from Jackass, like, hey man. But yeah, my potato garden was well guarded, and I had a bountiful crop. And back to the red spider mites, they decimated it, so all my potatoes are small. So this year, I've been really, really vigilant, and every time I see a red spider mite crawling on my potato plants, I kill them really quickly. I just grab them with my fingers and squash them. They're microscopic. They're really, really small. They're about the size of a grain of sand. But I live in a massive, massive apartment with a humongous garden, which is 3 meters by 3 meters squared. It's amazing. It's so big. So big, you swing a cat in here. It's crazy. So I can watch my potato plants with due diligence. And as soon as I see a red spider mite, I kill it. So this year, the crop has grown really good. They've grown really big. And they're almost dead. But I'm going to let them keep popping that sweet potato plant juices into the potatoes so I can get a bigger potato this year. And the red spider mites actually did strike. I was really good. I took care of the plants for a long time, but they did strike. They struck really hard the last few weeks. And if you follow me on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, you would have seen a very obscure picture of me in my garden shooting my potato plants with a water pistol, shooting the red spider mites. Because they apparently don't like being sprayed with water, soapy water, or oily substances. So I was using it to train my double tap technique and spray these little red spider mite buggers off my potato plants. And so that's the potato garden over there. And as I mentioned earlier, I have next to them the shallots or the negi, the green onions. It was a combination effect. The typhoon pretty much wiped them all out. Even though they survived being buried in a foot of snow last year, the typhoon and the hot weather, and then all the potato plants falling over and dying on top of all of them, that's pretty much killed all of them. I've got maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, but maybe 8 shallots left. moving on from the potato garden, we go over here into the corner. We've got some rubbish over there. I'll take that away on Wednesday. It's recycling day for the empty beer cans. The pak choi is still going very strong. I've harvested 3 decent salads from this patch. It's very, very nice. I planted some new lettuce and they're blooming right now. I'm going to have a good feast of lettuce. We'll make a nice salad for my family in the next few weeks. The turnips are still doing the turn down. They have done absolutely nothing. I'm not sure what happened this time. Before, when I planted turnips, they grow to harvesting size. They grow to a decent sized turnip within 30 days. But these guys have been doing their thing for around about 90 days now. And there's just these incy wincy tiny little pea-shaped turnips, and they're not even worth cutting, pulling out, or trying to cut up and make into a salad. I don't know. I'm probably just gonna leave them go. If they die, I'm gonna cannibalize them. I'm gonna chop them up, roots and all, mix it into the potato garden for next year's crop of bumper potatoes. So that's the turnips over there in the corner. I'm gonna go over here to the far corner. Wait a minute. Alright, there we are, into the far corner, and there is my friend Mr. Fern. He has another friend with him, which is actually a larger fern, a more gankier species, a different species of fern. They've actually been surrounded by some quite large and tall, not really aggressive, but probably invasive species of weeds. I'm gonna have a weeding day here in my garden and clean those guys out. In the other corner over there, wait 1 minute. We have our very versatile folding clothesline. I'm not sure if you call it a clothesline because it's constructed out of metal poles. But yeah, that's what it is. It's a series of metal poles, which is designed to dry your clothes. And now we're going to go into the pool. Ah, here we go. Now we'll go over there into the pool. Oh, that's lovely. It's stinking hot here in Tokyo, so you might as well enjoy the small pleasures in life. So in the pool, it's nice. I've been washing this out and cleaning it every couple of days. There's no chlorine involved. This is a natural, my family is a natural family. We don't believe in chemicals or preservatives or additives. So we like to keep things very clean and very organic. So in the pool, looking around, last thing I can point out to you guys is the air conditioner, which is making that noise you can probably hear in the background. That's gone full blast inside to keep my family nice and cool. And that is pretty much walking in my garden with Kyle. We'll come back with the last part of the podcast, which will be the Japanese news and Tokyo weather, and maybe a little bit more information on Tokyo Munchies for you. Anyway, my friends, have a great time, and I'll see you after this short commercial break, after I finish getting out of this pool. See you soon. G'day guys, yeah, this is Gazza down here in on Oz, and we're gonna look at a little bit of backyard survival techniques right now. I'm out here in the middle of the Kimberleys picking some weeds. I thought I saw some mushrooms over there. I'll go have a bit of a squiz over there later if I don't get speared by that guy over there. He was looking a bit angry. Actually, that's not a guy, that's just a tree. Oh well, yeah mate, it looks like a guy, I don't really care. But yeah, I want to introduce you guys to a bit of backyard survival techniques when you're out here in the Kimberleys, out here in the middle of Idaho. That's Gaz's secret chili dick cream. It's not really a cream because we do this on the fly, mate. We get a chili and we just cut the bastard open and smear it on the Johnson, and then you're good to go for at least 24 hours. This is like a, I don't know if the ladies want to use this, but we lads will use it because we don't want our Johnsons being touched by people we don't know, especially people called Mark or Fred or Timothy. Timothy, if you're hearing this, mate, I don't mean this about you, mate, but yeah, last time you touched me, Johnson, I didn't like it, mate, and don't do it again because there's going to be pool balls flying and socks at you, okay? So the Gazza chili dick secret is you get a chili, you lay it down on the chopping board, but we're out here in the middle of nowhere, so we're going to put it on a rock. We're going to slit that open with our handy Bushmaster Survival 2000 knife. Has a built-in sewing board on the back of that. And also, there's a ironing board on the front of that. I don't know who invented that. It must have been a Sheila, because, guys, we don't iron our shirts out here in the middle of nowhere. But, yeah, so you get your chili, you spread it out, you put your wang in there, you get it nice and deep inside that chili, and you give it a good how's your father, a bit of a shake. And then, yeah, and then you're good to go for the rest of the evening. This isn't actually one of the techniques I use when I'm playing darts with the lads at the pub after work. We're putting a few skinners up, the bets are on, $20 to hit the bullseye, and I pull out the Gaz chili dick. Good times had by all. This is not recommended for the children. If you're a child, if you're under the age of 16, please do not listen to this message. If you do, I'm not held accountable for it, and yeah, have a great day. I'm gonna throw this boomerang around a bit and then see if I get myself a kanga for dinner and have a bloody good RV and then get a VB up here, a mullet up here, and cheers from down under. Much love from Gaz and the crew of the Chili Dick.
Yeah, that was not the commercial we're looking for, guys, and I apologize for that. I'm just using the Anchor app for these podcasts on my phone, and it's a little bit tricky to edit on my phone. I haven't quite worked it out yet. But thank you, Gaz, for your interest in sponsoring Tokyo Munchies. And thank you for that lovely message. I don't think that's exactly how we want to roll here at Tokyo Munchies, but thank you anyway. Thank you for that. Anyone that was offended by that, my sincere apologies. That was just, yeah, I just can't edit that out. I'm sorry, but I just had to post this. As you're probably already aware, because I know you good people out there are listening to the Tokyo Munchies podcast, we missed our deadline of Wednesday yesterday, and I'm busting a nut. I'm busting a packet of nuts to get it out tonight for you good people and post it right now. So we're going to sum things up. We're going to go through the good stuff. First of all, we're going to go into the Tokyo weather. This week, we've had some very interesting weather. We had like a massive heat wave hit Japan. It was huge. It was nasty. It's probably not, I don't know, I'm not going to compare it to other countries, but I will slightly compare it to Australian heat waves because I'm an Aussie. I'm from down under. And I do not voice those commercials. Those are all done by people that send their messages to me. But yeah, in Oz, when we have a heat wave, we're looking around about 52 degrees. That's 48 to 52 degrees. That's a heat wave in Oz. In Japan, they have a pretty decent heat wave too. I'm in dead center Tokyo. It was 39. It's almost a record. I think 39 or 39.3 is around that, which is almost a record heat for Tokyo since they've been taking the weather reports. The heat reports since 1875, I think it hit 39.5 degrees, and that is pretty damn hot when you're in a mega city. But this week was really nasty. Monday was up 39 to 39.3 in Tokyo. If you go up north into Saitama, where I work, in my spare time, I'm a tennis coach, yay, and I'm also a mechanic, yay, and I fix cars up in Saitama. Up in Saitama, it was 41.1 degrees, which is stinking hot. Out in Chofu, out in the west, northeast, yeah, out in the west side of Tokyo, yeah, 39 to low 40s, so it's really hot out there too. So we're having a bit of a blistering week here. Humidity is super high as well, so it's pretty uncomfortable in general. But I'm just here in my garden, in my pool, chatting with you. Oh, when I'm not in my garden, in my pool, chatting with you, I'm out there on the court, smashing some balls around, teaching some kids how to play some tennis. And when I'm not doing that, I'm out in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the country, with a wrench underneath a Toyota, removing the sump plug to drain the oil. So, it's been a pretty interesting week, weather-wise. So going into the Tokyo weather, right, today it's Thursday the 26th. It's 8:32 p.m. The weather is clear, which is correct. I can look out my window. I can see a dog. Hello, Mr. Dog. Please don't bark. Interrupt my... Hey, hello. Yep, dog is happy. He's not barking. He's just looking. So it's Thursday. It's clear. It's 8:32 p.m. The precipitation, the fancy word for rain. You probably heard Richie Beno mention that in a previous podcast when he called in as a special guest. Precipitation is at 10%, which is about right. I don't think it's going to rain. Humidity is at 62%, and that's correct because my shoes are growing fungi or a small form of mushrooms, and my feet are suffering from a slightly smelly case of athlete's feet. Wind speed is at 3 miles per second, which I think is totally incorrect because it's stiller than Walt Disney out there. There's absolutely nothing moving. There's no breeze. There's nothing going on. So that's pretty much the Tokyo weather for today. There's nothing else really to say on that. We'll jump on the Fridays. Friday's forecast is going to be cloudy with at 31 degrees. Precipitation is at 30%. Humidity, a lovely 55%. Wind speeds at 5 miles per second, which is a bit nicer. We go into a rainy weekend. Saturday's, whoa, there you go. Saturday's going to be nice and cool. 27 degrees. Very, very cool. Precipitation at 100%. Hey. Okay, so it's definitely going to rain. So when they say that fancy word, precipitation, 100%, it's pretty much saying, hey guys, it's going to rain cats and dogs. For sure. So it's going to be raining like a beast on the weekend. Humidity is at a lovely 85%, but we have a higher wind speed, which is nice. Sunday, there's no forecast on the humidity or wind, but it's going to be 31 as well. And precipitation is at 60% chance. So that's the Tokyo weather for the next few days. And now let's go into the Tokyo news. Tokyo news. Oh, we got some juicy ones here. Some very, very juicy ones. All right. So Tokyo news, it's always the one, the two, the three top stories from Tokyo, Japan. And let's get into number one. Number one. All righty. I'm not sure if you know much about Japanese history, like modern history, cultural events which happened over the last 10, 20, 30 years, but a while back there was actually a pretty decent sized terrorist attack in Tokyo, and it was headed by this cult, and the cult's name was Shinrikyo, and it was led by this pretty gnarly looking dude who looks a little bit like Charles Manson in his younger years, if Charles Manson was of Asian descent. And with a slightly more bushier beard and no Nazi symbol carved on his forehead. But yeah, the Shinrikyo, six remaining cult members responsible for deadly Tokyo sarin attack have been executed. Alrighty, so if you don't know much about what happened here, this guy who led this cult, named the Shinrikyo, or Supreme Truth, they orchestrated this terrorist attack. And what they did, they all got together and prayed and meditated, and they were practicing different religious beliefs or mixing the one. But what they did was they actually manufactured sarin gas, and they put it into plastic bags, and they got on the subway. I think it was the Hibiya line. They got on the subway with these plastic bags, and they placed the plastic bags on the ground, and they all had umbrellas, and they sharpened the tips of the umbrellas, and they placed the plastic bags on the ground near their feet while they're on the train with everybody else. The trains are always packed in Tokyo. If you've been here, you know how busy the trains are. And as they're all on the train, they simultaneously just punctured these bags, and the sarin gas is in a liquid form, but as it evaporates, it turns into sarin gas, which is a deadly nerve agent. So they're all on the train, bang, they've punctured these bags. The sarin gas has started leaking out on the floor in its liquid form, and then evaporating and turning into its deadly nerve agent gas form, and spread through the trains, and yeah, pretty much killed, how many people was it? They killed 27 people died, and hundreds of people suffered respiratory failure and respiratory problems after that. And I'm just going through this site a little bit. This actually happened as the trains approached the Kasumi Gaseki station on one of the main lines here in Tokyo. Kasumi Gaseki is a really affluent, really rich area. It's where all the rich cats hang. So these six guys, I don't know how many people are actually involved in this attack, but yeah, they pretty much just got on the trains, these little plastic bags, put the plastic bags beneath their feet, had their umbrellas with sharpened tips, punched the bags, released the sarin gas liquid, evaporated, turned into the sarin gas, and killed people. Here we go. 4 of the 6 executed on Thursday released sarin gas. Oh, okay, 4 of the 6 people who were executed on Thursday released sarin gas on the subway. This happened back in 1994. Oh, actually, oh no, there's another attack. Well, actually, there's been multiple attacks from these guys over the years. But yeah, that's the Japan News number one. So, the leader of this cult and 6 of his cronies, they were actually hung, executed here in Tokyo last week or the week before. So that's some pretty major stuff going on there. During an 8-year trial, yep. So these guys are in jail for a long time. They actually have a very large cult. They have over 10,000 members in Japan and over 30,000 in Russia. It's been disbanded, but nearly 2,000 people still following its rituals and splinter groups monitored by the authorities. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. So that's some pretty random and out there Japan news. And actually, that was brought to us by abcnet.au. So g'day, Australia. Thanks for that Japan news. So we'll go back to the Japan news, and this is from the Daily Beast. The Daily Beast, I love that name. And the headline is, Tokyo is boiling. Will it be too hot for the 2020 Olympics? It's 39 right now, as I just mentioned in the Tokyo weather before. And let's get into this. This is from the Daily Beast. Headline is, again, Tokyo is boiling. Will it be too hot for the 2020 Summer Olympics? The heat wave devastating Japan shows how disastrous the weather is likely to be in 2020. The IOC and the Abe government and the Yakuza, oh my god, the Japanese mafia are in here, played a part in this hellish timing. Whoa, boom shakalaka. You can't top that for journalistic integrity or even reporting there. So, the IOC, Shinzo Abe's government, and the Yakuza are all part to blame for the timing of the Tokyo 2020 Olympics to be held in a stinking, stinking hot Japanese summer in 2020. Wow, that's it right out there. I'm not gonna mention the name of the person who wrote this article, but that's right out there. I'm just going to read through some of the snippets because this is a very, very big article. Here we go. Tokyo, if they gave an award for deceptive Olympic proposals, Tokyo would win a gold medal. Oh, snap, that's going to hurt. That's pretty nasty. That's right up there nasty. I think that's a little bit too much, though, especially where we go into the second sentence of this. Like, the recent wave of heatstroke and related deaths here make a cruel joke of Tokyo's original bid for the 2020 Games, which claimed July 24th to August 9th is a great time for them. In inverted commas, with many days of mild sunny weather, this period provides an ideal climate for athletes to perform at their best. Inverted commas. Yes, if 104 degrees, I'm assuming that's Fahrenheit there, with 74% humidity is ideal, that's completely true. And if you don't mind dying, wow. Monday was just short of 2 years before the 2020 Tokyo Olympics was the hottest day in the city's history. This is gonna go on and on and on. This is quite a decent sized write-up here, and it just goes on and on and on. And leave me messages, guys. Leave me comments on this, because I wanna know what you think about that, because that's some pretty out there reporting. Especially when the opening paragraph is the IOC and the Abe government and the Yakuza, the Japanese mafia, were played a part in this hellish timing. If that doesn't get you fear-mongering, jumping out of your seats and going, damn you Japan for hosting the Olympics in the hottest time of the year in Japan, damn you for lying about it, I don't know what will. I'm not gonna comment, I'm not gonna say the name of the guy who wrote this article, I'm not gonna do it. But yeah, I'm going to leave that alone. So that's Japan News number 2. Actually, an even more case in point for this article. This, I don't know who did the illustration. Oh, I actually do know who did the illustration. I can see her name here, and she works for the Daily Beast as well. She's got the Olympic rings done in Illustrator over the top of a really hot-looking sunrise, and the Olympic rings are all melting. It's pretty crude, actually. I could do a better job of that in Photoshop, but... And then straight underneath that picture, it says Death Race 2020 in bold font in red. and then into the Tokyo as bowling will be too hot for the 2020 Summer Olympics. There you go, that's a bit of class A journalism there for you. So that's the Japanese news number 2, and we'll go back and have a look at the Japanese news number 3 is actually directly linked back to the Japanese news number 1, and this is brought to us from US Today. I'm not going to actually click into it. I'm not going to even open it because it just says cult members hanged for Tokyo subway attack, other crimes. Hey? Actually, I'm going to click it because that headline was terrible. Cult members hanged for Tokyo subway attack, other crimes. And there's no punctuation to end that sentence. So, other crimes. It's like me saying to you, I like Japanese candy, what do you think? So, you need to punctuate your headings, guys. And this is from USA Today. And, yeah, it's just talking about the same thing we mentioned in Japanese News number 1. Showing pictures of all those lovely people. Actually giving all their full names. Their ages. Their past work. Everything. And saying that they're all executed. And that's lovely. That's lovely. Okay, so that's the Japanese news. And that's pretty much going to wrap this podcast up. Because it's goddamn depressing. In between the heat wave and these people carrying like pork chops about the Olympics, I just don't know. I just don't know. So it's Thursday and we have the Throwdown Thursday Challenge. I've been offering this to you guys and I really, really want to see someone pick this up and run with this ball. The Throwdown Thursday Challenge. So it's a full spicy set of the spiciest stuff that we stock here at TokyoMunchies.com. It's a Def Chimmy fish jerky sheet. It's the Tyrant Habanero spicy ring chips, because you'll have a spicy ring after eating these chips. And it's the super rare Habanero Umaibo. It's a 3-pack with free shipping, costs you $14.99 US. I challenge you to try this. I challenge you. Anybody out there, you think you got the guts to take on some spicy Japanese snacks? Come bring some. Come get some. Come on. Come and get it. Actually, I'll even give you a discount. Actually, no, I'm not. I'm just going to put that challenge out there for you. Come and try a spicy set. All you guys out there on YouTubing Tide Pods and carrying on snorting condoms, I don't think any of you could try or even handle the Tokyo Munchies spicy set. Prove me wrong. Jump on the website. Grab it now. And I'll see you on the next podcast. And leave me a message if you buy it, because I really, really want to see. I really want to see you guys make a YouTube video or do something with this. I want someone to take the spicy challenge and prove me that's not spicy. Anyhow, we want to always end on a positive note because I don't like to make any issues here on Tokyo Munchies. So, the Throwdown Thursday, that's what it is. We're going to be looking at getting some more new candy in here in the next few days. I'm going to be a little bit busy, but we'll try to get the podcast out on time next Wednesday. Next Friday is going to be 2 days late. And thank you always, guys, for your time. I hope you have a great weekend ahead of you. Big shout out to our great friends at the Critical Thinking Podcast. Also to my great mate over in Twitter at CraigHoffman11. Craig Hoffman always has some really cool and in-depth, deep insights into what it's like to live in Japan for a long time. Mangasensei.com, go there, listen to Japanese lessons, try their 30-day Japanese lesson challenge. He's a great guy, Johnny. He gives you guys lots of free stuff to learn Japanese. He's always got the Japanese kanji of the day up on Instagram, so go follow the Mangasensei on Instagram. Also, my good friend Barry at barrymedia.com. Barry is a fantastic photographer. He's all over the place photographing his beautiful cosplayers all at the Comic-Cons. So if in America, if you're attending any Comic-Cons, look out for Barry, look out for Ish, Barry Media. Barry will be there taking some shots of the lovely girls there at the Comic-Cons. There's another random podcast out there called Tokyo Explosion. I've had a little bit of a chat with those guys. They're pretty cool. So go check out Tokyo Explosion, and come over to Tokyo Munchies, load up on some candy, say hello to me, send me a voice message here on my podcast, send me a message or a comment on my pics or anything on Instagram, on Twitter, or on Facebook, have a look at my pics on Pinterest and Tumblr. Thank you guys, and have a great week. Stay cool, or if you're in a colder climate, stay warm. Come and get some at tokyomunchies.tikdale.com. And as always, if you've got the munchies, we've got the munchies. tokyomunchies.tikdale.com. Peace out.